This is Linda Rennie, the founder and the president of Sanction Love Ministries. The purpose of these podcasts is to bring the heartbeat of Jesus' ratifying love to you through the teachings, interviews, current topics, and much more. We plan to cover deep and sensitive topics to create a hunger to know the lover of our souls, who he is in us and who we are in him. So sit back and incline the ear of your heart to the pursuit of the pursuer himself.
My friend Linda. Father, we just want to acknowledge you and thank you for your love. Thank you for this moment that you have brought us all together. Lord, I just keep hearing you are the potter and we are the clay. We are ready to be ready to receive and be molded by you, Lord. Give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and a heart that is pliable in your hands. Bless this beautiful woman as she shares from your heart to us. Amen. Hello. It's nice to meet you. That was great. I'm going to move this if this is okay. It makes me all teary-eyed. I'm going to have someone really help me with time because I purpose to be obedient the best I can. It is truly, really a privileged, humble honor to be here and to have our team with you guys. We have been in prayer for many months, and as Precious Shelley has said, Joy has introduced us to you for many years. And we have held you in our heart for many occasions. And we actually prayed about this day and this weekend way before we were invited. One time Jesus said to me, "You're going to meet your prayer." And it's nice to meet you. And it's very... And God does do an appointed time. I'm a weeper, so you know. when God does an appointed time like that, and he makes a moed, like Pastor was saying, it is something that is such a divine appointment. And I pray that your hearts would come thirsty, not because of any person, but because of him. Like, he just wants to be and meet with you and get to know him more, and we want to get to know, he wants to get to know us more, right? And in the vulnerability of being literally unveiled, redeemed by love, that I believe that the Lord is going to take us on a journey through this time. Please do some time. Yes, okay. That we get to discover this beautiful story of Ruth together. And Ruth is truly, isn't it, just one of the most beautiful love stories in the Bible, because it really is always such a reflection of who the bride is and who our kinsman redeemer is, who is Jesus, Boaz. And we're going to just kind of start in a process. You'll hear from the team what we've prayed out. I just want to just really kind of start at the very beginning. Let's start at the very beginning. So, Ruth, who is Ruth? Ruth is a love story, like I said, between the Jew and the Gentile. And it's happening in the time of Judges, when it was a really difficult time in way back. It was a time of, there was a lot of corruption where people did their own thing that was right in their own eyes. Kind of like today in our society, right? And how much is it that Jesus is preparing to meet his bride in a time when maybe some are doing what they think is right in their own eyes? I love that Ruth's name in Hebrew, the word is this name called Ruet. And it means a companion, a friend, friendship, a neighbor, a very sympathetic friend. And her name literally symbolizes loyalty. This is who we are. Kindness and devotion and faithfulness. The story of Ruth is about her adopting a very covenant with Israel. So who is she and where did she even come from, right? When for her to say to Naomi, your people shall be my people and your God shall be my God. Who is this lady? Well, if you know anything about Ruth, Ruth was a Moabite. What's the Moabites? Who are the Moabites? Well, the Moabites are found clear back when Abraham had his nephew Lot. And they were in, when they were both very, very wealthy nations, and Abraham says to his nephew Lot, go and you can have this part of land and you can have the sheep and the cows and the cattle, and I'm going to give that. And he went to a place called Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know the story. And out of that, when Abraham came down and they rescued Lot up out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the whole story is being burnt, and Lot's wife turned back and she became a pillar of salt. And all that Lot had was his daughters. And out of that, because there wasn't anybody else around, it was an incestual relationship, and he actually slept with his daughter, and the Moabites came from that. The Moabites, Ruth came from that, and so she was really from this nation, and she is married to a Jew. And we pick up where Naomi is her mother-in-law, and Naomi's husband, he dies. And then 10 years later, Ruth and her sister-in-law, their husbands die. And so she travels with Naomi back to Bethlehem. So that's what we're going to talk about. What is happening in the story? That just gives you a very quick history of who some of these figures are that we're going to talk about. What is the passion in these women's life? Things that they had to overcome. How did they find out their identity? What challenges do they have to overcome? And maybe this weekend we have some of our own challenges and our own things that we have to get up and out of to get into where we can find a true Boaz, who is Jesus, the lover of our soul, our mind and our will and our emotion. And maybe there's some places where we may have felt stuck or burdened, or we have some painful areas where God wants to come and encounter us this weekend. That's what we're believing for, that we would get to know him, and he is so longing for us to open our heart up to him. Amen? And so, who were these men that they were married to? Elimelech means my God is king. He is an ancestor of David. We're going to talk about the very lineage of Ruth and how she's the great-grandmother of David and how Ruth comes and gets redeemed What could God do with your life out of such a broken past, maybe? Or maybe the generation before you maybe wasn't so grand, but the Lord can redeem all things and unveil you before your King. Cause us to be ready, presented before a Boaz. So they were married, the two sons that they were married, a Moabite woman, Orpah and Ruth. About 10 years later, Mahalon and Chilion also died and left Naomi all alone without a husband or sons. What does Mahalon mean? It means this is who she was stuck with. Sometimes we are in covenant with some pain. Worn out, sticky, afflicted, or wounded, Ruth was married to this man. Orpah was married to Chilion, and it means destruction or consumption. Verse 6 in chapter 1, sometime later, Naomi heard that Yahweh had visited his people and blessed them with an abundant harvest. So she decided to leave Moab with her daughters-in-law, with Orpah and Ruth by her side. And Naomi began her journey to return to the land of Judah. So Naomi said to them, each of you go back to your mother's home, and may Yahweh show his loyal love and kindness to you. The same love and kindness that you've shown to me and those who have died. And may the Father give you another husband and cause you to find rest and a happy home. And Naomi tenderly embraced Orpah and Ruth and kissed them goodbye. And they wailed and they sobbed in this beautiful relationship they had. And through their tears, they said, no, we want to be with you and go be with your people. And they said, my daughters, you have to go back. Naomi answered, why do you want to come with me? Do you think I have sons again? Because she was old, that could give you husbands? I mean, I can't give birth anymore to where they would be raised, to where the culture, then they could get married. I'm too old. You have to return back to old ways. And I'm too old to get married again. And even if I thought that there was still hope for me and married today and give birth to sons, would you wait until they had grown up? Should you live for so many years without husbands? No, my daughters, you must not return with me. My life is too bitter for you to share it with me, because Yahweh has brought calamity on my life. And when they heard Naomi's words, Orpah and Ruth wailed and sobbed again. Then Orpah embraced and kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and went back home. And Ruth clung tightly to Naomi and refused to let her go. And Naomi said, Ruth, listen. Your sister-in-law's act is going back to Moab, to her people, and to their gods. Now go with her. But tearfully, Ruth insisted, please don't ask me again to leave you. Please, I want to go with you and I want to stay with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people now will be my people and your God will be my God. And whenever you die, I will die too. And that's where your people will bury me, next to you. Nothing but death itself will separate me from you. So help me, God. This is really what loving kindness is. I find it very interesting. I was in prayer a few days ago, and later on, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because God has dealt bitter. And I was asking the Lord about that, and all of a sudden I heard the scripture in Exodus 12 where, or 15, where Moses, they were complaining in the wilderness and the water was bitter. And he said, people have allowed, we have sometimes have allowed our water systems become bitter and we've changed our own identity to a different name. Because we have maybe even blamed God. And maybe there are things in our life that have wanted to change our identity because we had a good life. And disappointments and pain, sorrow maybe have come. Maybe our prayers didn't get answered the way. Maybe we had disappointments in whatever the case might be. We all have been there. I certainly have. And the Lord was saying, I want you to look at that scripture. And when they were in the wilderness, they had this bitter water. It was so bitter that they could not even drink it, and they were dying in a wilderness. And he said, what do we do? And they prayed, and the Lord told Moses, put your stick, which represents the cross, get a branch and put it in the water, and all the waters turn sweet. Isn't that what the cross of Jesus does? In our life, it redeems us. It takes us from one thing where the enemy tries to steal our identity with pain and sorrow and depravity and disappointments and things in our life that we can't explain and we might not be able to put our thumb on it. And he is saying, I want you to come and just look at the cross. Look at your, find your Boaz. Find me in this weekend and say, what may be things in your life that the enemy is trying to change? The identity of the original intent of who you were created to be, what could it look like? Who are you in him? What hopes maybe have been a little bit hope deferred? Maybe where our hearts have been made sick. Maybe we have some bitterness. Maybe disappointment is so layered in the fabric of our being, we don't know where it started and we don't know where it ends. Maybe fear has gripped us, or anxiety, or doubt. I know that this weekend the Lord is going to put his cross in your water. And he is going to unveil this beautiful group of women to be unveiled before a groom, before your kinsman redeemer, so that you can be thoroughly loved and know who you are. Maybe it's because, who am I in this time? And what's my purpose? And how do I get? He is wanting to unveil you and reveal you and present you. I don't know if I'm the only one that has ever had moments in their life where you feel like there's been disappointment. The place where they went this place called Sur in Exodus, and it literally means the place of the wall. In the wilderness, have we ever met a wall? May we've come up to something that we can't define, describe. Maybe something that's, I don't know how I got here. The Lord is so faithful. With what? Loving kindness. His loving kindness, it endures forever. And that's the story of Ruth meeting her, this kinsman redeemer that we're going to discover and who he is, and the unnamed servant who represents the Holy Spirit. And when Boaz comes into the field and Ruth is gleaning, and he asks his servant, he says, "Who is that?" And that's the question that Jesus is asking. Who is that? Where maybe identity might be a little hidden, or insecurities might have taken, but she was working, doing the things of the kingdom, working, being a daughter of the Lord, working as a wife, working as a sister, working as whatever in the position is, she was gleaning. And the Holy Spirit, he says in John, "Oh, man," he says, "I don't speak of myself, I speak of him." And wasn't that the man that would be the servant in the field with Ruth? He didn't speak. He just did what he saw Boaz do and asked of him. And when he was protecting Ruth, Boaz, she caught his eye. You have caught Jesus' eye. You have caught a glance. And favor is about to be revealed. It says, then Boaz says, "Put grain, purposely let it be before her. Purposely let grain be before her, that she could glean the harvest." That is what I believe this weekend, the start of it, is going to be that he purposely would put something before you to say, "You don't have to work for this. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. It's a purposely set before you. Just do it for her." Holy Spirit, come and put before each woman here. And that they could just glean. Why? Because your Boaz, your kinsman redeemer, looked at you. It makes you hungry for him. It makes you go, "Who is this kinsman redeemer? Who is this Boaz? Who is this lover of my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion? Not just my Savior, but my Lord that we worshiped about earlier. The one that I can surrender my entire heart to, my life," like those words. What is it that we want to surrender over to him this weekend? What is it that we want to pick up that he has laid purpose before you? What is the purpose you would love to glean? What would it be that is set before you? What could be the questions that you could say, "Could I dare to believe that he has something so beautiful just for me?" He sees you. He sees you. It says it was for an appointed time Ruth was here. This is your appointed time. This is your appointed destined moment to say, right here in the month of April 2026, "This is my moment." To be brave, to just know that he's protecting you in your field, and he's brought you for a moment to encounter him. Wow. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he chose you to be in the field. That's how much he's like, "Give me, let me put my branch in your water system. Let me put the cross in the water and make bitter waters sweet." What is it that you could surrender? What pain? What rejection? What? Because we know the who. He is, for me, he is Naomi's root, Naomi's real name. Before it was bitter, this is who she, her original intent was. Her original identity, delightful, agreeable, pleasant, gracious, and beautiful. Do you know your original name? Do you know your identity, that you're beautiful? That you're pleasant? Has the enemy come in and tried to shift or rearrange? Isn't that what the enemy did in the garden? The very first thing is change and steal. Identity. And bring shame, maybe some disappointment. And what did we do? Adam and Eve, the first thing they did was they ran and hid. You can see throughout the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, where the enemy is always trying to steal our identity. He comes to steal, kill, and to destroy so that we don't walk who we are in him. Because we can move and live and have our being in him. We can live in him. Does it mean that it's a perfect life, an easy life? No. But what could it be that he would like to walk across the pages in the tablet of your heart this weekend? For him to read back your pages back to you. And bring this gorgeous unveiling of this gorgeous bride that he believes. Who you are. Amen? Who is this unnamed servant that is so showing you off in the field? He always points to the master. Always points to the master. He facilitates the relationship, the Holy Spirit does. He manages the harvest. In your life, in your family, in the globe, he manages the harvest. Things that have been maybe dying on the vine, he is going to bring back to life. Why? Because with those that abide in him, remain in him, and he prunes what needs to be pruned so that there can be much fruit that will grow from us. And maybe we're in a pruning season, but it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not managing our harvest. It's so that we can have much fruit. It's so that we can know, I am beautiful. I am the Naomi that isn't bitter and broken. I'm actually the Naomi that he sees. And we'll go through that as we get down into the next sessions. The unnamed also serves as a very humble bridge to the Father. When you think that maybe I can't really find Father God or Jesus, he acts as this beautiful bridge that helps us get there. He He's the one that is in our field. He is the one that is purposely laying things before us. What is it that we want and desire so desperately to be, when the way we came in, to leave different? What is it? What could it be that we would say, I no longer want this in my basket of harvest anymore? What could it possibly be that I don't want to have this identity? I don't want to be in agreement with something that I was not meant to be in agreement. What things do we want to come out of agreement with? What things do we want to say, no longer is that going to hold me back, but I press on to the high calling of God. The goal that is set, the joy that's set before me, I lay hold of the prize for what He laid hold of me with. What could it be? Because each and every one of us has a calling. Each and every one of us are destined. What does that mean? What is your calling? What is your calling? Our greatest calling is to behold Him. Just as Boaz saw Ruth in the field, she looked and said, who is that? Who is that? That's the question. Who are you? He is looking right at you. And the Holy Spirit is saying, oh, that's Ruth. And even though her past came from this unthinkable past of her generation, it didn't matter. She's the great-grandmother of David. I mean, come on. Just because our story started one way doesn't mean our legacy has to speak the same story. That is who we get to be. You know, I spread these commentaries and I was studying. Do you know Orpah? The name really came from this. What's this bone back here? You know, I'm not a doctor, but. And it says to turn your head and walk back. And she went back to the Moabites. And you know, some Jewish historians believe that she was the mother to Goliath. But Ruth had David's lineage. History and Jewish, it's fascinating. It's not biblical, it's just history, so don't. But isn't that something? The choices that we do to follow into a field, to be one that says, I'm going after Jesus. I'm going to find the love of my soul. I'm going to find out who I am. Don't let another day go past that you don't recognize. Who am I and why am I? That someone doesn't say, who are you? I know sometimes it can feel like it can be risky. That it's risky to say, Jesus, to see me, to be unveiled, I'm not quite sure. I really want full exposure. But you can trust Him with all the secrets of your heart. And how He longs to be, have an intimate relationship with you. We have that old saying you guys have heard a million times, intimacy, into me see, Jesus. David said, search me and know me and see if there's anything in me. What could I surrender? What could I give? I give you my heart, but I don't want you to have this piece. I don't want you to have that part. Because that's just too, I don't know. And I don't even know how it got there, and I don't want to look at it. Or I don't want to face it. I'm really not, I don't look like you. I think sometimes we have to come to a place in such humility. In a broken and a contrite heart, we says, I'm so close to the broken and the contrite that I see you in your field of doing. And I want to purposely put purpose before you, that you could glean it without earning it. That you didn't have to work for it. He told his other servants, you put that for her. You just put that for her. You just put it there. She's just walking around. Hey, I'm going to just pick up purpose today. I'm just going to walk with purpose. And I'm going to feed Naomi and me, and we're going to be full. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see he's good and his mercy endures forever. That's your Boaz. That's your kinsman redeemer, the lover of your soul, who has a call and a purpose on your life. And the purpose of it is just laid right in front of you, that by grace, with mercy, and with freedom and liberty, because why? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You get to pick it up. What could it do? The more free we are, what could it do for our families? What could it do for our workplace? What could it do for our church? What could it do for the bride? What could it do for you? That you are lovely. That you would know who you are. That you would know who you are. So in this very last 5 minutes, I got through maybe a tenth, but good job, me. I present you with that question. We're going to go into a time of reflection. And in the reflection, maybe what challenged you? But ask, who is that young woman over there? Let Jesus ask that question to you. Is it risky? Or could you say, I know who that woman over there is, me? Can write it down. Or what area is it that maybe you go, I want that woman to be this. I have longed for that woman to be that. I don't know what has cut me stuck, but I want to get unstuck. The other place where we see water is where Elijah was with his prophet, school of prophets, and they're building this prophetic school, and he's teaching, and someone borrows an axe, and the axe head falls into the water. And he prophesied that axe head floated to the top, like an axe head floats to the top. He took a branch off a tree, which also represents the cross, and a miracle happened in a mucky and miry water where it was impossible for metal to flow. God is wanting to change our water systems, because in John 7 it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, where it's crystal clear like the river of God out of Revelation. The Zoe life of God out of the throne. Who's that woman over there? Who could you say? What does Jesus want to say to you? Who are you? I think it's so great to reposture ourselves in that. So this personal reflection time is here's some questions that might you can write down or pray about in this 10 minutes. Who's that woman? What challenged you in this session? Maybe what was encouraging to your heart? What are some of your I knows? What inspires you into next action? I'm no longer going to live with this. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm going to press on to that high calling of God. Is the Holy Spirit inviting you into something new? Is there an invitation? Is there an invitation for you? Is the Holy Spirit inviting you into something new? Because when there's an invitation, we have to RSVP. I want to RSVP when an invitation from the Father comes to my heart. I want to sit at the table, even if it is in the presence of my enemy. Because I know that God has put a banquet for us to sit at. And we can taste and see that the Lord is so good this weekend as we discover this beautiful journey of redeeming, being unveiled, and surrendering to places that we didn't even maybe know we needed to surrender to. Deep in you, let it cry to the deep in him. The deep in you, the hunger. Jesus always fed the hungry. He never let one go. He always brought water and he always fed the hungry. Come thirsty. Come and drink. Of our heart, that you are revealing greater places of destiny and identity, and you're depositing maybe some greater purpose that's set before us that we didn't even know. Lord, we thank you for the investigation and the invitation. We thank you. We submit an RSVP to come and sit at the table with you. That we could partake of divine nature. That we could taste and see that you are good in a land that's living. And would you flow with milk and honey this weekend? We ask that we would know our Kinsman Redeemer, Jesus. May into me see. May there be intimacy. May a greater place of surrender, an authentic, genuine surrender come from each and every one of us. We could know you more today than we knew you yesterday. We could know you more tomorrow than we knew you today. May there be a deep in us that cries to the deep in you like your waves and your breakers wash over us. Holy Spirit, bring the comfort, the counsel, be the advocate, the intercessor. We would understand your presence more. That you always take us and reveal Jesus to us, who always does and sees only what the Father does. May an appointed time be revealed of the why of this appointed time. And may we have a greater understanding. We give you all the praise. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood. And we thank you for the cross. It's the power to redeem. It's the power to save. Make any bitter waters in us sweet. May we trust you again. We may love you more and desire you deeply. Thank you for the testimony of the cross on our life. We give you this time, this next moment, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sanction Love podcast. Our desire is to bring the ratifying love, the binding force of love, to individuals with the purpose of increasing intimacy, freedom, and identity in Christ. Please check us out on our website, sanctionlove.com, and all of our social media platforms. We would love you to consider partnering with us in taking the ratifying love around the globe. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.